God, you never cease to amaze me. You know my heart, you know where I'm at, and you know that I needed that this morning. God, let my faith rise up, not in myself or my abilities, but in the God that you are. And as I hear your voice, embolden me to step towards you, knowing that no matter how deep it is, you're going to be there. Lord, I love what you do and how you do it. I love the peace that you provide in moments where we just don't know. Because it really doesn't matter about all the other stuff. What matters is you. And I pray that this morning that all of our faith would be strengthened and encouraged. That we would be able to take a good, hard, inner look as to who we are and the soil of our soul. That we may increase our faith because of our confidence in who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So glad that you guys are here. Yesterday, I thought we were going to be in a little bit of a trouble spot this morning. I coached a soccer game yesterday, and I had to go get a soccer ball because it went underneath the fence. So I crawled underneath the fence, came back out, and I had my glasses resting on my shirt. After the game, we get back in the van, we were pulling out, and I go back to get them, and I'm like, oh, I don't know where my glasses are at. So I would have had to have somebody up here reading with me, and I was going to pick the shyest person that I could find. Just kidding, not really. Luckily, I found them, as you can see, but man, I was panicking. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to continue our study of the parables. Had a great study last week, or the past 2 weeks, kind of explaining what these parables are all about, helping us understand what we're looking at moving forward and how we are going to try to understand them, because we know that parables can be a little tricky sometimes, and they're meant to be, because there's always that hidden meaning behind it. It's always that Sunday school lesson behind it. That's what my friend Brian from Alabama and I call them. We call them Sunday school lessons, and it's something that I always challenge our teenagers all the time to take every situation that you're involved in, every one of them, and try to find the Sunday school lesson behind it. And when I say Sunday school lesson, here's what I mean. There's always that little quick hit of a gem that you can get out of a Sunday school lesson. That's what it's meant to be. It's to teach us and take us a little bit deeper, but it's that one thing that just sticks out that we are to grasp onto and hold on and allow it to blossom in our lives to help us to see really what God has for us. And so when we read through these parables, I want us to pay attention to the Sunday school answers that are in there. There's a Sunday school lesson in each one of these stories. In fact, in any story that you look at in Scripture, there's a Sunday school lesson behind it. But it isn't just about the biblical stories. The story of your life, the story of your workplace, the story of your neighborhood, the story of your own home life, the story of everything that you encounter in life, there's some type of Sunday school lesson that you can garner from it and grow with it. That's the cool thing about God and the things that he does and the way that he works. There's a Sunday school lesson in it. We took our teenagers from Alabama to Tennessee one time on a hike. And this hike was not a flat hike as they were used to, because they were a bunch of flatlanders. This hike was like a 12-mile uphill one way to the top of this mountain called Mount LeConte. These kids had never hiked before, so I thought it would be fun to make sure they had backpacks with snacks and water in it. And then I asked them to grab a rock and to carry that rock in their backpack all the way up. Now, I didn't ask them to get a pebble. I didn't want a small one. I wanted a pretty good-sized rock. Now, you know as well as I do, you put a rock in your backpack, you're going up a mountain 12 miles, it's going to get annoying and heavy, right? Well, the cool thing was, on the way up, and I had this whole thing planned out, I was really super excited about it, but on the way up, I was watching the kids, how they interacted with each other and how they dealt with their rock. And periodically, you would find some of the guys going to the girl saying, hey, I see you're kind of having a hard time. Can I carry yours for you? And then some of the guys would have to say, hey, can you carry mine for just a minute? Right? So all the way up, we're doing this. We're switching off rocks in the backpacks that we had. And on the way up, I challenged them, hey, pay attention to what you're seeing. See if you can find a Sunday school lesson somewhere on this mountain hike. And the things these kids came up with were amazing to me. Blew my mind. Things I would never have thought of. But when we engage our brain to try to see what God has for us, you will find more than you bargained for. When we got to the top of this mountain, we went out onto this peak, and it was just this rock area, and it was wide open, and you could see mountains for miles. It was beautiful. These kids were just blown away. Told them to take the rock out. And I said, how fun was that carrying it up the mountain? They were like, it was awful, terrible. Why did you make us do that? And I said, because it's the sin you carry every day of your life that you don't need. And I said, here's what I want you to do. Take the marker that's in your backpack, write whatever sin that's been holding, that you've been holding on to or just eating you up. I want you to write it on that rock. They wrote it on the rock. We prayed over it. And then, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. As soon as I was done praying over these kids, I started chucking their rocks because we had made an altar. And I said, I want you to know this is what God does when he forgives us. He chucks them as far as he can so you can't find them. He knows where they're at. Now, the problem with that is I don't remember where the track that we climbed up was coming. Lucky for us, we didn't find any of them on the trail, and I didn't hear anybody scream as I was chucking all these rocks off the side of the mountain. But it was cool to watch their light bulb moments of something that they did not understand come to life, and it makes sense. Folks, every day of your life, if you will look, there are Sunday school answers and lessons that you can find. You just got to look for them and want them. It's what we talked about last week, remember? Of, hey, the difference between those that get it and those that don't are the ones that want it. We've got to be a group of followers that want to know the truth, that want to see God move, that want to experience him. The problem is for me, for us, is sometimes that's too painful. We want to pick and choose the things that he's going to be able to deal with and work with. We want to be able to state, well, this is the lesson, God, that really I'm supposed to be learning. It's not the way God works. It's not how he interacts with us. And so last week we talked about how hearing and seeing does not always constitute understanding, but it's the Spirit that gives us the understanding, the eyes and the ears to see the hidden things. It's the Spirit of God. That's the trick to all of this. Listen, I can read this book backwards and forwards, and if I do not have the Spirit of God living within me or the desire and want to know it, I'm not going to get it. I'm going to have a lot of knowledge, but I'm not going to see the underlying currents of what Scripture really is all about. It is the Spirit that unlocks these things for us. It is the Spirit of God who knows his own word better than anybody and knows us better than anybody, who infiltrates our lives and begins to reveal to us exactly what we need in order to grow. It is the Spirit that does these things. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 13. And he says, guys, listen. You guys want it. You guys have chosen to follow me. You left everything. And so now I'm going to give you something to chew on. I'm going to allow you to see. These others that I'm speaking to them in this way because they just want to have the knowledge. They only want to see it from the worldly perspective. They're not interested in seeing it from my perspective. And so Jesus is going to share a parable today that we probably have all heard, but I'm going to take it in a little bit different direction. Not that I'm changing anything. But I'm going to bring something out that I don't know that we've talked about before. So here's the thought today. Preparation leads to development. Preparation leads to development. Now, many of us know, especially if we are sports people or you're at a job or you have any schooling at all, you know that proper preparation allows for some type of development. That goes with anything in life. And Jesus today is going to use the idea of farming, of sowing seed, of how the soil looks like when the seed hits it, and what happens when that seed hits that specific type of soil. But preparation, especially in a good way, should lead to good development. But also, bad preparation leads to underdevelopment. And so we've got both sides here that we need to play with and need to work with. And at the end of the sermon, we're going to specify what that looks like for us. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at the parable itself as well as the explanation. The parable itself is in verses 1 through 9, then Jesus breaks from 10 through 17 to kind of give us that understanding of why he's speaking in parables, which we talked about the last 2 weeks. And then from 18 to 23, he gives the explanation to his disciples so they can kind of understand what's going on. Because they're not quite there yet, but they want it. So in verse 1, we see, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Now, this is the same day. What same day are we talking about? This is the same day, if you remember, about 3 or 4 weeks ago when we talked about Jesus saying, "Who's my family?" Because the worldly perspective would say, my family is Elaine, who is my mom, Walter, who is my dad, Kim, who is my sister, Sally, who is my wife, and my 3 kids. That's my family. That's my earthly family. And I've got aunts and uncles all over the place. Right? That's my family. Jesus says, who's my family? Look around you. These that are doing the will of the Father, that's my family. And for me, when I see that, it's easy for me to say, well, yeah, you guys are my family. And I wish we could use that as a legal definition to do some certain things, but we can't. Not yet, anyway. And so he's talking, coming right off of this conversation, right off the idea of flipping everything upside down on everybody that's listening. He's not ignoring his family. He's just taking a worldly view and flipping it to a spiritual application. Henceforth, the parables. He's going to take worldly ideas, worldly culture, worldly ways, and flip it to allow us to see a spiritual application. He's taking something that we regularly see and giving us the Sunday school answer behind it. Verse 2, great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat. So Jesus sees this entire group coming, realizes that there's not enough space, so he gets in a boat and he's kind of shoves off a little bit, and he sits down because that's what the teachers did. But look what the whole multitude did. They stood. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to go and listen to somebody, I'd rather sit down. Henceforth is why we have nice chairs and you're sitting in them, right? These people wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. They wanted to see what he was all about. Not necessarily understand, but they at least wanted to hear what he had to offer. And they wanted it so bad that they crowded around wherever his boat was and in the shore. Maybe some of them got into the water, we don't know. But we know that they stood to listen. And he goes off. This isn't just one parable. These are multiple parables that we hear. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now here's what he's saying. He says a guy went out and he's going to sow some seed on some ground that he has. And he has his little sack full of seed. And as he reaches in to grab the seed out and to sow it, to throw it, some of it, as he's coming out of his sack, falls by the wayside. That's natural. That happens. I'm sure that happens to you all the time, Jack. Pouring seed in, it just kind of spills out a little bit, right? That's right. That's money. You can't do that. But it happens. As you're sowing, it's not all going to go into the area that you want. And it says that as it fell on the wayside, that because it was exposed, because it didn't take root, because it was just there, the birds came by and just picked it up and left. We know what that looks like. That makes sense to us, right? Then he says, as he's sowing this seed, some fell among stones, stony ground. Now, on this stony ground, these seeds actually were able to take a little bit of a root. But the moment that the sun came up, it got too hot, and because their root was not deep enough, it burned them up. Now, again, that makes sense in our head. That makes sense. Absolutely, it makes sense. Then he says, some of the seed fell among thorny ground. Now, I do not believe that he threw it intentionally into thorny ground, but here's what I do believe. I believe the soil had already been worked up, but it had not taken proper preparation and gotten rid of the thorny bushes. But you couldn't see them as you're sowing seed. But as the seed begins to grow, so do the thorns. So time is taking place, and as the seed is growing up, it's got good roots, but because of the weeds and the thorns that are there, they overtake and they choke it out, and the seed is no longer good. That makes sense to me. That makes sense to us. But then he says, then it falls on good ground, and because it was good ground, it had good soil, it had good water, it had good sun, it, everything was needed that was there. It popped up and gave great reward. It bore much fruit. That makes sense to me. Now, if we're only speaking from a normal sense and not trying to see the Sunday school lesson behind that, that's as far as we're going to get. That tells me I need to go home and make sure that if I'm sowing seed, I'm going to sow on good ground and not the junky ground, because the junky ground ain't going to grow anything. I got my lesson, I'm done, let's go home. But Jesus is like, that's not what this is for. There's more to it. So let's go to verse 18. Jesus, again, is speaking to his disciples. And he says, you guys are going to hear it. You guys are going to see it. Some of these people are not. They heard the same thing you heard, but it's not going to register with them. Verse 18, he says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. He's like, let me tell you the story again with some explanation. Here's what he says. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received a seed by the wayside. So there's some things before we talk about this that I want you to notice. Here's the first thing. These are the constant. What's the constant thing being sown all the way through that? And it is the seed, which the seed is the word of God. The seed represents the word of God, and the word of God is unchangeable. It is the same from beginning to end, just as that seed is. Wherever it is sown, it is still the same seed. It doesn't change. You don't throw a bean seed out and expect corn to come. It is the same. It is a constant. It is consistent, and it is unchangeable. Here's another constant. It was sown generously. It was sown everywhere. It was sown just by dropping it out by accident. It was sown to the stony ground and to the thorny ground and to the good ground. It was sown everywhere. It was sown generously. Nobody is going to be left out from this. Everybody is going to be able to see God at work if they will look for him. Everyone will have the opportunity to hear some sort of biblical truth. That's constant. And no one is left out. No one's left out. Listen, even if you don't go to church, you have an opportunity to experience God in some different way. You do. But most people don't because they don't want to. So what is constant? Here's the last one. Personal responsibility. We're going to see in the rest of this parable, personal responsibility all the way through. We cannot blame the seed. The seed is doing its job. It's being distributed. It's dying. It's growing. And then what happens after that is what happens after that. It's not the seed's fault. It's no longer because it wasn't given to me or it wasn't enough. Everybody gets it. Nobody's going to be left out with this. We can't look at these things and say, well, I didn't, or they didn't, or it didn't. Because we have a personal responsibility in all of this. God has already done all really that he needs to do. He has given us his word. He's provided a way for salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, by coming onto this earth, living a human life, to be a ransom and to redeem us. And then, once Jesus left, he provided his own spirit, God's spirit, to come and live with us, to be our helper. We have no excuse. Because the work for him has already been done. Now it's our job to be personally responsible, to make the hard choices, to give him permission to lead the way. So it was sown by the wayside. And the wicked one comes and snatches it away. Here's what that looks like. The wayside are those who received it, but did not protect it. It's the casual conversation that you have with a coworker of, hey, here's what I learned at church, or here's what I'm learning in scripture, or here's what God has taught me. And they're like, yeah, that makes sense. But they do nothing with it, and the next moment it is out of their mind. Now, it's easy for us to look at our neighbors and our coworkers and some family members and say, yeah, that's them. But it happens in churches all the time. There are people who come to churches with wayside soil in their life. The seed is given by the preacher. The seed is given through the music. The seed is given through Sunday school. And we're like, yes, makes sense. And the moment we walk out that door, it somehow is attached to a string that the moment we walk out, it pulls it right back out. Because we don't protect it. We don't want to do anything with it. It doesn't matter to us. Yes, sounds good. For me, that's like the Pharisees and those that were standing on the shoreline who hear the story but only see it for what it is and not for what it really can be. I want you to notice in verse 19 a phrase in this with consideration to the wayside soil. The soil is wayside, so it's just kind of there. It's been trampled on. It's probably packed down really well. But the seed somehow falls on it. But I want you to notice something. What does it say? It was sown in his heart. It reached the innermost part of this person. There was some movement of this. It moved them internally. It's not by accident that they heard it or saw it. It was there for a reason, and they received it. They took it in, and yet because they did not protect it, because they did nothing with it, it was stolen away. The enemy comes and says, ah, you don't need to do that. Or the enemy comes and says, hey, don't forget about that bill you got to pay tomorrow. Or the enemy comes and says, hey, don't forget about the, sorry. He does that. We get so distracted so fast. So fast. You know what's funny to me? And this happens to me all the time, and I know it does to you. We get into the service, and we start listening, and we're tracking. Like, we're on it. And then somebody does something, or the preacher says something a little off, or something happens, and you get distracted, and you just lose your concentration. Why? Why do we do that? Why can't we just let it go, ignore it? I'm locked in, man. I want what you got, God. Wayside soil are those of us that we hear it. I'll get it later. I'll make that decision later. I'll figure it out later. Later never comes. Here's the next one. Let's look at verses 20 and 21. He says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now here's what's interesting. So we saw in the parable, Jesus says, when it fell on the stony ground, the sun came up and scorched it, meaning it was too hot. It was too hot in the kitchen. The person that got in there couldn't handle it, and they lost what they had. For me, it's kind of like that, Tim brought this up, it's kind of like that church camp experience, right? In that week, we are secluded, and we're growing, and we're getting all excited and fired up, and we're ready to take hell on with a squirt gun because we've just got it all figured out. Our passion is limitless. I'll last forever. Till next week, when mama tells me to clean my room, and I don't want to clean my room. Now, we laugh because we know that's how kids are, but we're no different adults. I have been in services where God moved in my heart, and I made changes on the altar, so I thought, till I walked out of here, and it may not be the next day. It may be a week or a month, and that passion is still burning, that excitement is still there, but the moment it gets tough, the moment that the thing that I prayed about, that I laid on the altar, resurges at me stronger than it was before, what am I going to do? The stony ground says that when it gets too hot for me, the seed that I had accepted, the seed that brought passion to me, the seed that had just fired me up, gets burned up and goes away. Initial excitement is what the stony ground is, but there's no follow through. We do this all the time. You've seen it. You've done it. Listen, this sermon today is not to make us feel bad or to make you feel guilty or for me to come down on you. This sermon is for us to take a step back, take a deep breath and say, okay, where am I at? What kind of soil am I? And this stony ground is nothing more than you've got some soil there that will grow some seed. This seed grew. But because of the truth of the word, remember the word is a sword and it's supposed to cut asunder the things that we don't like that doesn't need to be a part of us. And the moment that the word gets into our life and starts cutting these things away that we have held onto and loved so much, it becomes very difficult for us. And we don't want to let go of those things. We want to figure out a way to work out some kind of deal, some type of bargain with God to say, hey, let me do this because I can do this over here too. And when we do that, as things ramp up and as the heat increases, that seed that started to grow and started to be what it needs to be will begin to die because it's too hard and too hot. The initial excitement is there. But there's zero follow through. Here's the next one. Look at this one. Verse 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. Now if you remember, I talked about this thorny ground. This thorny ground is not that the thorns are already there, but they are underneath the surface that you cannot see. They're the ones that you've tilled under, but the root is still there. But at least it looks good on the surface. And when the seed is thrown, the seed begins to grow, but so do those thorns. And those thorns will overtake. It's kind of like organic gardening. If you don't weed your garden, you're going to lose your organic gardening because the weeds are going to overtake it. And they're going to say, you got to work it. You got to be patient. You got to take the time to do something with it. And thorny ground does not do that. In fact, time reveals much. This isn't talking about that initial push of passion from the camp experience to where in about a week or a month, it just goes away. This is talking about people that have been in church probably, possibly for years, that know the truth, that hear it and receive it, and begin to produce some type of crop. But without proper maintenance, without proper preparation of more soil in your soul, guess what's going to happen? Those thorns that you thought were gone are going to continue to grow back up because you did not cut them off at the root. You did not pluck them out. You did not make the hard choice to say, I'm no longer going to do that. I'm no longer going to think this way. I'm no longer going to speak this way. I'm no longer going to act this way. And when we don't make those hard choices and hard decisions like that, guess what? Time will reveal it. I want to be careful how I say this because I don't want to do like a benchmark thing, but if we are not careful and we are not growing and a little bit further along in our Christian journey than we were last week or the month before or even last year, I would be careful. I would check my soil of the soul of my life. I would look to see, do I have some stones that are in there that are producing more heat than what I need and killing off the crop that God's trying to grow? Do I have some thorns that I didn't know about? God, reveal to me. Show me what's here that's growing up and choking out, hindering me from moving forward to knowing you even more. And you know what's cool about God? He has this unique ability to look into the deep recesses of your soul and in your heart and in your mind and say, I found it. I know exactly what it is. And here's how you fix it. He doesn't just reveal to us what it is. He gives us solutions. And he empowers you to do it. That's what I love. He doesn't just expect me to do it on my own. However, I do have a personal responsibility to do something about it. But he empowers us. He doesn't want us to go at it alone. He wants to come with us, before us, beside us, carry us, help us get rid of these things. But you have to make the choice to say, I'm done with it. Sounds like a good deal to me. I don't know about you, but sign me up. I want you to see something, though. In verse 22, it says it chokes it out, so there's growth, and becomes unfruitful. This is not a person who was unfruitful to begin with. This is a somewhat seasoned believer that has produced some fruit. But because they got complacent in their walk and they no longer did the work that was necessary of a follower of God, of doing what is right, being kind to other people, and walking humbly with God, Micah 6:8 again. Because they're not doing that, guess what happens? The thorns grow up and they choke out the opportunity to be fruitful. Do you know what this tells me? All of this boils down to, where's my soil? What am I doing to make sure that my soil is ready for when God sows the seed? And that could be on a Sunday morning, which I believe that does happen on Sunday mornings, right? A little bit, maybe, amen, yes, please, come on, help me out. But it can happen tomorrow. In your quiet time, wherever that is, whenever that is. In your daily prayer time, whenever that is, however long that is. Actually, you know what? It could happen on your drive to work. Do you know that I've got some of the best sermon ideas from movies that I've watched? I've got some of the best sermon ideas from a couple of billboards that I've seen. I've got sermon ideas from the Christian music that flows through my head. God is at work all the time, everywhere. Folks, it is up to us to personally take the challenge to say, okay, God, I know you're at work. I can't quite see you yet, but I'm willing to see you if you will reveal yourself. You got to look for the Sunday school lessons. They're out there. They're all over the place. But it only will work if the soil of your heart is ready to receive that seed that you're looking for. Because when that seed falls among the wayside and you are trampled down and you are hardcore and you don't want to hear any of it, it's going to get stolen away really quick. When it falls among the stones that are in your life that create too much heat, that are too hard, it's going to burn it up and they're going to go away. If you do not take care of those thorns and those roots of bitterness and wrath and things that are going on in your life, if you do not get rid of those, they will grow up and choke out fruitfulness of your life. Not my words, Jesus's. But there is good news. There is good ground. There is good ground. And I believe we have a church full of good ground. I can look back at our church over the last 7 years and see the ground being tilled up and stones being chucked out. Thorny bushes that have been here for a while that might have been under the subsurface that we weren't quite sure, but we have dug deep, found them, and gotten rid of them. And we are certainly not wayside Christians here. Amen. But the trick to this is we cannot become lazy or complacent, fat and happy with where God has us. If you've ever planted a bush or tilled a garden, you can't just till it once and say, okay, next 10 years, I'm good. Right? Doesn't work that way. You got to work it. And it's tiring work. It's hard work. And sometimes the work that you're doing in all of this gardening and farming and tilling, you don't see the reward right up front. In the age that we live in of, I want my instant gratification, doesn't work in Christianity very well. Because it takes time. And in this good ground, there's hearing and understanding. Now, it's interesting that this word understanding is there, because when we go back and look at the Greek definition of it, here's what it is. It's putting together. It's not just, oh, yeah, I understand that. It's, oh, I get it. I hear it, and I understand the meaning, and I'm putting it together that this is how it applies to my life. It's arriving at a summary or a final understanding. It's taking in this entire story as we've unpacked it today, allowing it to marinate in your brain, and coming to a conclusion to say, here's where I am, here's what I want to do about it. That's good ground. That's the ground that we want for you every Sunday that you come, every Wednesday that you attend a Bible study, every Go Group meeting that you go, every time you open your word to be able to get something out of it. We are praying that your soil is good ground, because God is constantly sowing seed. And if your soil is not ready, it will be stolen, burnt up, or choked out. So what should it look like? Well, he gives us the answer that it's not barren. Good soil is not something that does not produce fruit. So if you have no fruit to show, and the fruit that I'm talking about, you can find in Galatians. It's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the hardest one of all, self-control. That's what we're talking about. That's the fruit that we want. If that's the fruit that we are producing, there's no law against any of that. So it's not barren, and it's not scorched. Listen, many of us, if not all of us, have some scorched places in our lives. I can't tell you how many thoughts and great sermons that I've had, and I failed to write them down, and they were just scorched. They're gone. I have no idea. Just gone. But not only that, but our fruit should not be hidden. The fruit of our life should never be choked out and hidden by the cares of this world. People should be able to look at us and not have to question, well, I see how they're acting and I know what they say and I'm not quite sure. They should be able to look at us and say, I know what they say and I see how they live, so therefore I know exactly what kind of person they are. They are a follower of God. Our soul should ever be so fruitful. Not saying that we've got to have all of those fruit of the Spirit yet, because some of us struggle with others. And there's still some thorns in our life and stones in our life that we've got to continue to cultivate out so that those things can grow in us. But it doesn't mean we should just be satisfied with where we're at and say, you know what, I'm good. Never stops. All four soils receive the same seed. I want you to think about that. All soils in life receive the same seed. As far as spiritually speaking is concerned, this word will never change. It is the same today, yesterday, and forever. It will not change. It's always going to be the same seed. The truth of the gospel is always the same. Three of those soils allowed growth. The stony ground had growth. It just wasn't very deep. The thorny ground actually had fruitful growth, but it was choked out, and the good ground had growth, with only one truly producing lasting fruit. Righteous preparation is the new change that we're going to take. Our earlier statement just said preparation leads to development, but we're going to change it and we're going to go righteous preparation leads to righteous development. We want to have the right type of preparation. We want to have the right type of development in our lives. And so the only way for those to match is they have to be the same. It must be holy living, true pursuit of Christ, righteous living, and preparation will give us the righteous development that we are looking for. You cannot live like the world and expect your life to be modeling who Christ is. It will never work that way. It can't work that way. So here's some questions I have for you. One, does my soil need tilling? You got some stones that you need to remove this morning? Maybe you've got some thorns that you know is growing up, some cares of the world that you know you need to get rid of. Are you looking for those potential thorns? Are you even know what that looks like? Maybe your ground has hardened a little bit and you need it broken up. But here's the cool thing about it. You don't have to truly figure it out. You can ask him. And if you really want to know, careful what you ask for. Because it may start slow and it may start like a landfall. But he will answer. He will reveal. But he won't just reveal. He will say, yeah, this is what it is. Let me help you. So, what does your soul need today? What is your soul longing for today? Here's the second question. How do I prepare to receive the word? That's a great question. And what am I referring to? Am I just talking about daily quiet time? I can be, yeah. When you go to read your word, do you just open it up wherever it falls and say, yeah, I'm reading right here today? Or do you take a quick moment and say, okay, God, I have all of these things that I need going on, that I need to be doing, but I want to take just a moment, and I want to take a breath, and I want to focus on you. I'm going to read a psalm, or I'm going to read the Gospels, or I'm going to read start to finish, front to back. But God, as I'm reading, I need you to show up and show me something. A simple, quick, two-second prayer can unlock more than you could ever imagine. But what I'm also asking is, how do you prepare for Sunday? Are you out partying last night? I saw that yawn, Zach. Right? What were you doing yesterday? Were you busy fussing at your wife and your kids all morning long before you got here? I wasn't. I left before they got up. How do you prepare? When you're walking in, are you already geared up for somebody to say, how you doing, and you're just going to let them have it? Are you walking in saying, man, I hope they sing a hymn or I'm not coming back? How are you preparing? Where's your heart when you come in? Are you here to receive not something from me, just a human being that gets to present and talk about my most favorite thing? But are you listening to the very word and presence of God? Is that how your heart is prepared when you're coming in? Thirdly, do I look for Sunday school lessons? Are you, the moment you walk out of here, are you just done until next Sunday? Or are you consciously saying, okay, God, where are you at work? What am I missing? What do I need to see? Show me something. Let me learn from you today. And then lastly, do I have visible fruit? Do I have love for one another? Am I exuding joy? I don't always. Am I showing self-control? Still working on that one. Do I have peace? Today I do. How about patience? Don't ask me about that one. Still working on that one. Kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. All those. Where are you? As our praise team's getting prepared and coming, I want you to be thinking about these questions and ask God honestly. The altars are open. Just kind of, I don't care where you go when you come. Spend time with your Lord. You can turn around in your seat and deal with it right there. But ask honestly, God, where am I? Maybe pray through these questions and see what he reveals to you. Let me pray. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for being a great and amazing God who stays true to his own word. Lord, thank you for the challenge this morning to consider what type of soil we have, because it is all in the preparation, Lord. It is on us. We have a personal responsibility in this to do something, to go after you. And Lord, you promised to meet us on the other side of it. Lord, as our folks sit here, as we have folks at home listening and thinking through this as well, Lord, I ask that you move in their heart, reveal to them, answer the questions that they are praying through. And God, if people are just ignoring you, bust through. Let them know that you are there and that you've got things to talk about. We just invite you to do your work. Be gentle and patient with us as you always are. And take us to that next step, that next level. Improve our soil so that we can always receive the seed that you send our way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming today. Thank you for tuning in at home, or maybe you're listening out in the parking lot. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you guys next week.